when it comes down to marketing, you're not actually selling your joinery or your millwork or your kitchen or whatever. That's not what you're selling. That's how you get the result from your client, but that's not your product. So if we think about marketing primarily being about selling what it is your customer actually wants, I'll put this into simple context. If we have a homeowner with a family and they're really unhappy in their home, like they're not house proud, they don't invite their friends over because they're embarrassed of their house, right? What do they really want? Okay, they want a beautiful kitchen, of course. They want to be proud of their house. They want to be house proud. So if your marketing actually shows that customer exhibiting that result, that's what other people like them will want. Unfortunately, so many people in this industry just show the kitchen and it doesn't evoke an emotion. It's just a nice looking kitchen and they go, oh, okay. People are smart. It's a nice looking kitchen, but it might be the wrong color and you might actually have a really angry customer. You know what I mean? People are smart about this sort of stuff. So your product is actually the result of your client. And that's what marketing is all about, is getting the result that someone's looking for.
Welcome to Verify Infield, the Millwork Podcast. Your host, Jacob Edmond, CEO of Duckworks, will be interviewing experts in the industry to bring you insights and knowledge about the latest trends, techniques, and challenges in millwork. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting out, this podcast is for you. So sit back, relax, and join us as we explore the world of millwork. Here's Jacob.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Today, we have an exciting guest. Bruce Poling, and he is the director of the Joinery Coach, as well as the Marketing Joint. And we'll dive into later in the episode what exactly those are. But I'm excited to have him on. He has a very similar podcast from Down Under, and you guys have likely heard of it. If you haven't, you should check out the Joinery Coach podcast. Is that right?
The Joinery Business Podcast.
So I'm excited to have him on. We'll hear a little bit about his background. So welcome to my podcast, Verify Infield, Bruce. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Jacob. It's good to be here. Awesome to see you today and awesome to have, you know, this technology that can link us up from other parts of the world. You know, I'm on the other side of the earth right now.
I know, it's crazy. but it is exciting, the world we live in and being able to connect like this. And more than anything, have such like-minded people in this industry that I'm able to look up to be able to share ideas with, to discuss like this freely and learn from each other. So I'm grateful for you taking the time out to come on with us.
Great to be here.
To get started though, as I mentioned before, you've got a couple businesses that you do coaching and you help people with their marketing in the joinery business. But before all that, there's a journey you went through. And yeah, you at one time had your own cabinetry business actually in Canada. So could you give us a little bit of just your background and your career path, how you ended up where you're at, starting the Joinery Coach down in Australia?
Yeah. So I get asked this question quite a lot. There is a fair bit of, like, even on our website, there's a more expansive version of this. And I always promise I'll give you the short version and I'll endeavor to do that today.
Awesome.
You know, I'm like a lot of tradespeople. I was a cabinet maker early on in my life. I kind of acknowledge that. but when I started my first business, it was actually in Adelaide in Australia. And I was working for someone, as a lot of cabinet makers do. And I just wasn't happy. I wasn't happy with being employed. You know, I wanted more. I wanted a different life for myself. And I wanted to create the future that I want. You know, all that stuff that business owners typically do. I'm a little bit unusual though, because the first thing I did was I went out and started taking some business courses, because I learned that, or I guess I acknowledged that my biggest gap was really my own knowledge and how to run a business. So there was a scheme that the government was offering at that time called the NICE scheme. That stands for New Enterprise Incentive Scheme. And if you go through that scheme and your business plan qualifies, and they essentially give you funding for a year. So I went through that. And so that was my first business training, I guess. And I've been on a journey of business knowledge ever since. I thought I was going to be the best cabinet maker in the world. And what I realized was I was probably an average cabinet maker at best, you know, like most of us are. But my journey was really about business. So fast forward, my wife and I got married in 95, moved back to Canada and started a cabinet making business there. And you know, it had its typical ups and downs, like a lot of cabinet making businesses do. 9/11 was a real hard thing for us, because at that time we'd moved all our clients we were right on the Canada-American border, and all our clients were basically U.S. designers, and we were selling our cabinets to them. So as soon as 9/11 hit, it really hurt us, and we'd built up to that point for a long time. And so, you know, basically 95% of all our revenue was gone. that's a pretty severe thing. So, you know, I had a choice to make. Basically, we pivot, we keep going, find a way to make the business work, which was totally possible, totally viable. However, in my situation, I was really burnt out. Like, I was really done. And I remember very specifically going, you know what, I'm done. And this was really the big turning point for me, was that I'm fortunate enough to have acknowledged that was the point where I needed to make a decision, and not just make a decision, do something about that decision that I made. Because a lot of times I talk to even some of my clients, they go, you know what, I woke up this morning and they said, I've had enough. But then they keep doing the same things over and over and over again. They've been doing all these years, right? So there was no decision really and no action. So at that point, that was really my turning point. And I remember very, very clearly just going, I don't really know what I'm going to do, but I'm not doing this anymore. So I was lucky to have sold the business. And I kind of had a bit of a, you know, go to the mountain and talk to Job experience in life. What am I going to do? And one thing I recognized for sure was a lot of the consultants and people that helped me in business, I just had a tremendous amount of respect for them. So I acknowledged at that point that that's what I want to do. I want to go to the industry. This is in about 2002, 2003. And I really want to help the industry in some way and take the knowledge and the experience. But I knew that I didn't have enough technical knowledge to go to the industry and guide them through things step by step, right? So then I went back to school again, and I started a training with a company called Apex, and they offer what's called a CPIM certificate. That's a certificate in production and inventory control management. So I started, you know, later in life, I started more education, and it was really my lean manufacturing journey back then. So that's a brief rundown of my experiences in the past.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting because I think a lot of times when we reflect back on our career path, you know, especially the further you get into your career in your life, there's things that, you know, shape what you're doing now that maybe didn't seem so at the time. But I imagine there's a lot that you draw from that period of your life and, you know, those decisions you had to make, those struggles you had, and that feeling that aids in your coaching that you do now with your clients. Do you find that, I mean, you just mentioned that you had you'll get on with clients now and they'll say, oh, well, I had it today, and they keep doing the same thing, or I'm done with this, right? and you also mentioned that you very early on went and said, hey, I need to learn about business school or about running a business, right? And it wasn't that I need to go learn how to make cabinets better or, you know, these things, which I'm sure you did some of that as well. But how do you feel like that period of time and you know, you made a conscious decision, hey, I want to go and be a coach because there were coaches that helped me. From there, what was the decision and how did your experience shape how you went about that and what it is that the Joinery Coach does today?
Yeah. Look, it actually forms almost everything we do. It's almost the foundation or the basis of everything I do and my team does, because what we're actually saying is that if we won't get too deep and philosophical here, but it does really form the basis of why we exist in the world, right? Because if a business owner is running a kitchen cabinet business or a joinery manufacturing business, any of those millwork, you know, whatever those businesses are, if you wake up every morning and you just can't see that this business is going to take you down the road that you're on right now to the destination you want to be, you know, and that destination has to be something that is, you know, substantial. We start a business that's in high risk. And if this business, as you sit here right now, this minute, if this business doesn't give you the confidence that it's going to take you to that place, then you need to make that decision that I made years ago. I'm not saying close your business, but what I'm saying is feel the passion and the enthusiasm of a decision to change things, to make something different that will make that path that you're on right now lead to that place that you want to be. You know, so many business owners start a business because they want this amazing thing, better freedom in life, better lifestyle with their family. You know, you and I were just talking earlier about being able to, you know, work from home, you know, that stuff that we wanted, and we started a business and it gave us this lifestyle. If that isn't happening, most business owners in this industry have had that dream taken away from them by the business, right? It's really a sad thing. So the whole experience that I had, which was life-changing for me, drives me to do what I do. And what I'm saying is, my goal is to help people make a decision substantial enough without the catastrophic event, because, you know, change often happens because of a catastrophic event and then you're forced to make the change. We want to give people the feeling that the catastrophic event has happened without it actually happening, that inspires them to make those changes that are going to substantially change the outcome of their business to, you know, to be what they wanted it to be to begin with.
Right. Yeah. I mean, in many ways, you know, as you described, your previous business, your cabinet shop, ultimately you made a conscious decision. Hey, this isn't getting me to where I want my life to be.
That's right.
And as you mentioned, you could have stuck it out. You could have found a way to pivot and made the business work, but that wasn't what you wanted for your life. And that's, absolutely, it sounds like the important thing that you're trying to impart on your clients. And if it so happens to be continuing to run the business they're in, then that's the goal. But ultimately it starts with, you know, and I know I'm kind of leading into a little bit, but I know that you're part of one of your programs is called GPS. And the idea, a part of that idea is knowing the destination of where you're trying to get and then figuring out how to get there is ultimately like what a GPS does, right? And what you're describing is if what you're doing today is not getting you to where you want to go, or if you don't even have a destination mapped out to begin with.
Yeah, Groundhog Day.
Yeah, because I think that happens to so many entrepreneurs as they start a business. And a lot of times, especially in this industry, it's not, hey, I set out to be an entrepreneur and a business maker. It was, hey, I had a set of skills and I have customers and therein is a business, right? And then it's, hey, I need to keep paying the bills. And almost begrudgingly, a lot of people become entrepreneurs because they're a craftsman and they have to make a living, right? And then a lot of times they build these phenomenal businesses, but without ever taking a step back and saying, hey, what is it that I'm doing? Do I want to be an entrepreneur or a business owner? And a lot of the times it seems like, and I'm curious in your take with having worked with so many entrepreneurs and business owners, is it seems like it's very easy to get many years down the road and totally kind of lose perspective and sight of that and just, hey, I've got to keep the machine running because now I have people depending on me. Now this is my source of income and there's no kind of conscious, hey, what is it that I'm working towards anymore? Do you find that? And two, when you're working with your clients, like how do you kind of begin to repair that and reset that?
Yeah. Interesting. It's a great question, actually. I do drink my own medicine. Many years ago, I joined a program on how to be the best business coach I could be. And I was in that program for 4 years. So, you know, if we ask people to join our program, we don't say, well, we would never do that. We actually do it. And we continue to engage in professional development. But one of the things I learned in that program was, you know, first of all, if you're going to offer a program, most program that people have been in have a, you know, they have a set sequence to them, module 1, module 2, module 3. And that's a program. So a lot of people go, well, I'll take a program and I'll learn something. Then I'll come and apply it to my business. Now, I've seen that and it just doesn't work. So I set out early on to have an offer that was not a program at all. I often refer to the Seinfeld show. It's a program about nothing, right? We have a program. Yeah. We don't have a program. And when I say that, I mean that honestly. Our GPS program was named GPS for a reason. Now, you know, these days GPS doesn't mean a whole lot to people because everything's on your phone, but it's still a GPS, right? That's how they work. But we knew that was how the GPS functioned, right? It knows where you are right now because it knows your position. That's the P. And it knows where you are. And all you do is type in your destination. Then it tells you how to get there. And it tells you all the roadblocks and all the detours and all that sort of stuff. And I went, well, that's actually what we want to help people do. We want to figure out, first of all, where they are right now so that we know if you're going to improve. We need to know what you're getting better at. But we also need to know what's your destination. So the name GPS kind of became really obvious. But it was founded on the premise that we don't have a program. just like the GPS when you first buy it. It doesn't have a destination.
Right.
You have to plug in your destination. So we don't have a program. Our programs are based on building each client's program. And our job is to help you achieve that. That's our program is the, you know, each person in this program builds a program that leads them to their destination. And our job is to help them get there. And it's as simple as that. And I think that that's one of the reasons we've had so much success over the years is that it's a different experience for people, but different in a way that gets them results this time, rather than, you know, doing module one and module two and having a very rigid approach to things that programs have. We don't have any rigidity. It's always, always, always based on what's the most important thing in your business right now to make improvements and changes and get you down that road.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
So, you know, much like you described with the GPS, every trip is unique and every client's journey is unique because their starting point is unique and their destination is unique. And you guys cater and create that roadmap essentially for every client uniquely.
Exactly right. And, you know, every business is starting from a different place. Just recently, we had some clients join us from the UK, you know, and when I looked at them, I went, oh, these guys are awesome. How are we going to help them? You know, they were amazing, amazing business owners, and they did amazing work. And from the outside, it looked like, and it is an amazing business, but, you know, they were starting at a level here and we follow the same principles. We ask the same questions, and then there's always improvements on top of that. So as it is now, that business was already really, really good. Is still looking what the next step is. And similarly, we have other businesses that are, and you know, the industry is full of them, just on a knife's edge. And they know that if they do one more thing wrong, it's over for the business, right? So they enter our world really desperate for help. Everybody's at a different place, right? So you can't have a program, in my opinion, that actually is the same for everyone. It's not going to work in this industry.
Right. So when somebody like that, like you mentioned, the UK customer comes to you and, you know, from at face value, they already seem very together, very advanced, like, hey, they're already doing amazing work, right? But obviously they're coming and seeking out coaching, seeking out help. In their minds, they have problems to address or solve or yes. goals to obtain, something that they're seeking help for. What is that clients are coming to the Joinery Coach now seeking, and then what is it that the Joinery Coach actually provides? Obviously it's coaching, but I imagine that there's like some amount of framework for what it is that you guys do, right?
Yeah, there 100% is. You know, we know that every business, so even though I say we don't have a program, every business, we have 9 foundations in every business. Quickly, those 9 foundations are knowing how to analyze and do something about your numbers. The second one is knowing how to get better results in the time you have. You know, everybody says, well, with money, it's always about, well, I need more cash flow. Like I need more money. And when you look at the profit, the business isn't making profit, right? But more money won't make more profit. So we need to figure out how to, you know, get better results with the money you have now. We need to figure out how to get better results with the time you have now, because you're not going to get more time. Other statement, like I just need more time. Well, you can't get more time, but we can be better with the tasks we do in the time we have. We very much believe in, you know, simplicity and time blocking. Parkinson's law is a wonderful theory to follow. And then we need, you know, the third foundation is building your team. So money, time, and team is foundational. Those are areas that we coach around. We also know that a business needs branding and marketing. You know, word of mouth is not a strategy. It's just something that happens. And if we're not driving new work to your door, you're probably not going to get your business to that level that you want it to get to. So marketing and branding is important. Fourth foundation. Fifth foundation is really around sales. there's so many people in this industry that say, I don't want to be a salesperson because they've had this bad experience with some, you know, shaky used car salesman. And they go, I don't want to be like him. But then they will quote, you know, spend all their time on quotes and only win 20 or 30% of them. And then say, well, I haven't got time to do this stuff. I'd rather just, but then I don't want to be a salesman. So I immersed myself in the world of salespeople, as kind of weird as that was. And I learned the tricks and the techniques to becoming a great salesperson. And we teach that to our members. So sales is a really important foundation of your business. You know, without sales, you've got nothing. you got no money. Systems, you have to systemize your business. We've got to have systems that automate things to take away the human burden. And we've already seen that happen across the world over the years, right? We wouldn't dream of having an accounting system without automating it. You know, you buy MYOB, you buy Xero, you buy QuickBooks. It's all automated. It's all systemized. You know, these days, Jacob, you know better than anybody. You draw a job, you push a button, and the machine's cutting it. It's all systemized.
Right.
So we bought into the system automation part of it. What most businesses haven't bought into is the business automation. And that has to come from a system, right? So in order to scale a business that is so hands-on, so, you know, there's so much moving parts, unlike just selling something on Amazon, there's not a lot of moving parts, that's scalable. We need to work on how do we make a business like a millwork business scalable. So that means we've got to get really serious about a system, a business system. Now, the next foundation that's critically important, and really it's foundational in what we do, is how do we get efficiencies happening in the manufacturing end of the business? Because this industry is full of people that don't believe they're manufacturers. We're craftsmen, we're artists, right? We don't manufacture. That's for those people that, you know, the cookie cutter stuff.
Right.
But the reality is, we manufacture a product, it just happens to be custom. So lean manufacturing is proven methodologies. We kind of have a program within our own program called the Joinery Manufacturing Excellence Program, which runs alongside our coaching, our business coaching. And, you know, we take businesses from whatever efficiency level they're at right now, that's measurable. We can say, well, what's your lead time? And, you know, how long does your average job take to go out and all that sort of stuff? And we make 20, 30, 40, sometimes 60% efficiency gains in 12, 18 months. That's pretty shocking, but this industry is one of the last manufacturing industries to be really slow to adopt lean methodologies. You know, if you go into, I don't know, engineering or plastics or any of those manufacturing industries, and if you make a 5% gain in their efficiencies, you're thought of as a hero because they've already adopted lean efficiencies and all that. But in this industry, there is actually 50 and 60% efficiency gain opportunities because we haven't adopted efficiency methodologies at all, right? So massive, massive opportunities around getting flow in your manufacturing side of things. Right. The other two foundations are looking at diversification of your income source, because a lot of people that I talk to have one product they sell. Like we just do renovations, or we just do kitchens for builders, or whatever it is. And then they're riding the roller coaster for that industry, right? And, you know, the builder work slows down, so does your business. And so the CNC machine sits idle for 3 days a week. And all we really need to do is look at what else you could be manufacturing. It might be outdoor kitchens. It might be custom made office fit outs. You know, people are working from home these days. So you could just offer, you know, we've got to make sure that the downtime of your machinery is very little, because, you know, people invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in machinery. And then it's idle. How are we ever going to get a return on your investment if the machine isn't running and it's, you know, it's your biggest investment. So product mix is really important, that you have a diverse product mix, so your income is consistent. And that's the eighth foundation. Question, Jacob, would you guess what the ninth foundation is?
The ninth foundation.
We haven't talked about them yet, but they're really important to every business.
Yeah, no, this is all new to me. Nine foundation.
I won't leave you on the hook. Customer, okay. customer experience. Right? Okay. So the ninth foundation is really your customers have to have an exceptional experience, because, you know, let's face it, if they don't, they're going to tell their friends. That's the word of mouth that could work out really bad for you, because you don't control it. And so customer experience is really important. So we coach people around those nine foundations that every business has. It's just about the sequence of which one of those do they need most help with right now. That's the difference, right? Is every business functions around those nine areas, but one or two of them is going to be more important than the others at any given point.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I imagine then that initially you mentioned, you know, the GPS program is essentially starting with figuring out where you're at and then where you're going, and where you're at can be measured against these foundational principles, I assume, right?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And you described a couple other things, which we haven't gotten to the second, which is that you had now have a sister company, the marketing joint. But you also mentioned, I think it was JME, Joinery Manufacturing Excellence, which is kind of a supplementary program you've built into this that supports some of these foundations, and the marketing joint supports some other of the foundational elements of your coaching business. So I would imagine that is due to those are two that you found are kind of very much, very commonly needing work in a lot of clients, or that you can add the most value in, maybe is a better way to say it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You know, can you talk a little bit about how those evolved, and because you've got nine foundations, right? And I know you're working on all of them depending on, you know, the client and where they're at, and some probably are stronger in some than others to begin with. But I would imagine there are some common elements that are very common for a lot of your clients.
There are. And so we never work on all nine at any given time. That's the trick. And within each element, let's say sales, we break that down into very little small steps. So in order for any one of those areas of your business to improve, we've got to break it into small, bite-sized, digestible chunks. And the business owner and their teams have to be able to be improving the business while they're running the business, right? That's the trick to this, because there's got to be how do we do this while the business is actually functioning as well. Mm-hmm. I always use this comparison. It, after Super Bowl, you'll kind of get this as well. We look at sporting teams, right? And you know, if you look at their time ratio, time of practicing versus time of actually playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
And any sporting team would be probably 95% practicing, 5% playing the game.
Right.
So the test is really only 5% of your total time. Whereas in business, a lot of businesses don't ever practice. They don't ever work on improvements. You know, 99% of the time is like playing the game, and they find it hard in business. So we've got to knit into the schedule of how things are being done the ability to get better and to continue to improve and to look at doing things better. So that's the balancing act that we first of all work out with people, is what's going to work for you and your team so that this can happen while the business is functioning. But as a result of these things we're doing, you're actually going to find the business is getting better and easier and more profitable and, you know, have better culture and happier customers and all that stuff. And that's got to happen really quickly.
Right.
But one thing I did find years ago when I went to the industry, my focus was on really just the manufacturing side of it. Like, how do we get cabinets built faster and all that stuff that technicians, we tended to think about. But after a few years, I started to realize that what good is an efficient factory if there's no work coming in?
Right.
Or what good is an efficient factory if it's not priced right, or if it's the material isn't here on time? So I personally had to go up a level and say, I actually need to help them with the overall business.
Mm-hmm.
So efficient manufacturing is important, of course, because we are manufacturing a product, and you know, your business results kind of live and die based on what goes out of the factory. But the factory can be sitting idle too, and that's no good for the business. So we knew that we had to have an overall comprehensive approach to the business, not just the manufacturing side of it. But the manufacturing side of it is equally important to the business side of it. They have to be equal.
Because you can have a very efficient shop and your business still can go out of business.
That's exactly. You
can be not profitable, right? Yeah. And that's what you're describing.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, we could have a business come to us and ask for help. And if we assess them and we find that they're doing great in all the other eight foundations, then we might say, well, let's just do the manufacturing excellence program.
Right.
We've never had that person come to us that is doing exceptional all the other eight elements in business. It's always when we go through them, they're going, yeah, you know what? I really don't have a marketing strategy. I really don't know my numbers. I really, you know, my team is really not great. So then they don't qualify for us to just teach them manufacturing excellence, because we would both be at risk in that case.
Yeah. So, you know, diving in a little bit now into the marketing side. So you have started, which is I imagine has grown out of the Joinery Coach, and kind of your journey in coaching is the marketing joint, right? How that came about, you know, and now the services you offer there, I'm really interested to hear kind of your perspective on working with your clients on how you help them, as well as kind of what their perspective is on marketing, because at least here from my experience in the US, marketing for joiners and mill workers, a lot of times is kind of seems very hard for them, because a lot of times it's not necessarily business to consumer, sometimes business to business. You're a subcontractor for a GC, or, you know, and so I think a lot of times, what I see, if people do any marketing, it's one, it's just kind of, hey, let's create a page, let's create a website, and let's put some pictures of our work up there, and let's tell people, hey, we're good at this work, right?
Yeah,
hey, look, doesn't that look pretty? But from my perspective, there's not any kind of conscious effort of like, okay, who are we speaking to? Who are we marketing to? And what result are we trying to yield from this? It's more, and there's, I see a lot of this also of GC posts a picture that we worked on. I'm going to comment on that, or we share, we were so grateful to work on this project, right? Which is kind of a sad state of affairs that's the best that a lot of companies are able to do, because there's not any kind of collaboration between the GC and them of like, hey, look, they did a great job. Let's share their work. Let's call them out. Let's by name. But I imagine you created the marketing joint. There was a need there, and you found that, hey, we've got a lot of clients who don't have a plan for marketing, don't, you know what to do from this, and we can help them. So one, you know, how did that come to be, and what do you find, kind of the strategy that you're taking now with helping them in their marketing?
Yeah, it's a great question. So as I mentioned, years ago, I was immersed in a program myself, and that really opened my eyes. It was another one of those, you know, turning moments in life where I realized what marketing actually is. Like I really, everything I believed about marketing prior to then was wrong. And ultimately it comes back to what we're helping business owners do, which is, if you're going to run a business, please learn how to run a business for your own benefit. And part of learning how to run a business means your business has to have a marketing strategy. Word of mouth is not a strategy. Like a lot of people say, well, you know, and that's, you know, it might've been getting you by up until now, but you know what? They can stop talking about you tomorrow, or they could start saying bad things about you tomorrow because somebody else came in and poisoned the water, so to speak. So you've got to control the narrative. And so marketing is critically important. It doesn't mean you're dumping hundreds of thousands of dollars into it. It might even be free, but you've got to have a marketing strategy. So our coaching program always had a marketing coaching element to it, and it still does. And critically important. And what we teach people is there's a difference between attracting and hunting. Most of this industry is in full hunt mode. I need to find new employees. I need to find some new customers. Find. I grew up in Canada, so I know about hunting. And, you know, hunting is hard and you have to kill something. I would rather not hunt, right? I'd rather be that grizzly bear at the top of the stream with a fish just jumping into his mouth.
Right.
Okay, that's not attracting, but you get the graphic, right? So the difference between hunting and attracting is when we create an amazing marketing strategy that makes you the place that they want to go to, now people are contacting you. And there's a very significant difference between the two. So, you know, the old days of buying a list and knocking on the door and cold calling, you know what? That's still happening. There are still people doing that. There are still people, I get it, Jacob, maybe you get it. You get a DM every day or two going, hey, I can sell you SEO services or something like that. Hang on, you're a marketer and you're actually cold calling me. It's not, you know, 1993. So marketing is so important. So we know that the result of a great marketing strategy can transform your business. And in the coaching element of things, we knew that we needed to help businesses put in a marketing strategy, and we were really good at it already ourselves. What we witnessed was a lot of our clients going out to the world and going, okay, I get it now. I get how we need to market. I get how this works, but I don't have anybody in my business to do it for me, and I don't have time to do it, which is probably true. So they went out and looked for other marketing agencies to help. And what we saw was other marketing agencies that were good people, but were not specific into an industry. So they would take 6 to 9 months before they would really be getting any results. And even then it was questionable, but they were trying really hard. So we knew that we were already really good at this. We knew that our clients needed help because they didn't have anybody in the business and they were prepared to pay someone to do it. So I just started my own marketing agency and called it the Marketing Joint. And we only work with cabinet making, joinery, millwork, commercial fit out, you know, this industry, that's all we do. And it's just been a game changer for so many people because we basically hit the ground running right away. There's no, well, tell me about your industry, you know, teach, you know, we already know, and we just hit the ground running. So it's been a real fun experience for me because I love the marketing side of it. But for businesses that go, okay, I get it, and I just want someone to do it. Okay, we now have an option that is, you know, we just hit the ground running and get exceptional results in this industry. So that's the history of it. It's been a fun exercise for me. It's sort of my passion. And if people are in the agency and in our coaching program, now we have this wonderful crossover of experiences and knowledge.
Awesome. No, I love that visual of hunting versus attracting. And because even, you know, a lot of people will talk about it even in hunting, you know, there's the type of hunters who hunt, they go out and, you know, like, I'm going to find this versus I'm going to put some deer corn out or, you know, bait and whatever. Right. And it's how do I make it easier for me as the hunter. Right. But also I think in our industry, you know, we are very much an industry of craftsmen first. Yeah. Businessman second. And I think with that comes a couple of things. One is that there's a certain amount of humility and like not an eagerness to boast or brag or get out there and say, hey, look at the work I do. Look at how good I am. You should work with me. Right. And it's let the work speak for itself is kind of a lot of the unspoken mindset. And as you mentioned, a lot of people have gotten by on a word of mouth, which you can run a great business for many, many years. But the problem with that is, when you don't have control, like you can't suddenly, I don't have work, I go force people to talk about you more and force people to recommend you more. And so you mentioned hunting versus attracting. And attracting, you have some amount of ability to influence how many leads I get, like I can drive more work by cranking up this machine I've built, my marketing process, my system, right? And when you're just reliant on word of mouth, you don't really have an ability to turn. There's nothing you're turning up, right? You're just waiting. How much does that factor into what you guys do with marketing, you know, when you're helping your clients? Obviously, there's the coaching side of it, which makes sense. You described, hey, we were coaching people on this before we started the marketing, business. And now, hey, they don't have people to do what we're teaching them. We're doing it, right? And I know you talk about in some of your foundational elements is sales, and I know there's probably a lot of things inherent to that. How do you coach people through, like, what is the goal of this? And ultimately, I imagine the goal is, hey, let's get more work. Let's get more sales, right?
Yeah, look, there's the original part of your question there is, how does that affect what we do? One of my greater influences in life in the marketing space, a gentleman by the name of Kevin Hutto, who unfortunately passed away during COVID, fellow American, Jacob, he was a marketing genius. And one of the things that he said really turned a light bulb on my head. He said that most business owners who don't have a marketing system where they can just turn things up and turn things down when they need to have this overarching stress that sort of weighs them down, because people might not think about it all the time, but they often have this subconscious thought, what if the worst thing happened to me in business? What would I do? Mm-hmm. You know, one of those worst things are, I don't have any more customers. Like all my customers have disappeared for some, you know, it's not logical, right? But we do think about this sort of stuff. what would happen if the worst thing happened and I don't have any work, I don't have no customers, what would I do? And for most people, they don't have an answer for that. They don't have a system that they could just, they can't go, well, I'll just get people to talk about me more. You know, you can't, right. You can't actually get conversations to happen like that because you've got no work happening. There's no word of mouth. So one of the greatest things that a business owner can do for themselves is take that largest stress off their shoulders. Now, for me personally, we know that there's things that could happen in business and there's, you know, you can't predict the future, but I know that our marketing systems are so effective now that if we really got low on work, we would just go back and dial things up. And I feel that stress off my shoulders. I feel this wonderful sense of relief that that isn't now one of our business risks. And that's what I want for our clients, is to have that system in their business that they can just go to and say, right, if we don't need more work, turn it down. But maybe because we have so much work, we need more employees. So let's dial up the attraction of employees through our marketing system, because it's so effective. I can attract employees to my business now rather than trying to go with, you know, the employment agencies and all that stuff, which we know doesn't work. So that's a tool for your business that is just amazingly helpful, right? Mm-hmm. How do we do it? Well, we go back to the basics, the basics that I was taught about marketing. You know, how do you become attractive to your target client? Who's your target client? What's the first question? Who's your target client? I don't know. Okay, well, now we have the first thing we need to do is identify a target client. Right. You know, when Apple first started out with their iPhone, you know, they identified a 32-year-old professional male. That was what their marketing strategy was about. That's pretty niche, isn't it?
Yeah.
Grandmas wanted it. The 12-year-old teenagers, you know, the young kids wanted it as well. But their target marketing was around a very specific niche. And it was extremely effective. So the biggest thing that a lot of people in this industry don't do is target and be mm-hmm. niche. Because we can do anything, right? We can build chairs. We can build tables, kitchens, wardrobes, closets. We can do anything. So why would we niche? That's too right. hard not to. It's just too hard to run a business to anyone and everyone. It's too difficult.
Not to veer too far off topic, but kind of drill it into that, because this is something that's really interesting to me, and I'm curious what your thoughts are. And I think especially in this industry, because, you know, one of your tenets is to diversify, right? And I think a lot of business owners, you know, want to do that, and it makes sense. Because not our industry in any specific niche is probably very cyclical and has highs and lows. So there's a certain amount of that as well. But I think when people are thinking about, okay, who is my target customer? Like here, if I go and ask almost any, you know, millwork shop here in the US, very few of them, when they say, hey, what is it that you do? Who do you sell to? Very few of them will say like a region. Even though that is probably one of the most differentiating factors of a lot of them is, you know, a lot of them will say, oh, well, we work with GCs of this size and we do projects of any size, of any type, of whatever, right? As long as if it's got wood and it's got this in it, and I think a lot of that comes from, hey, we don't want to weed out any possible clients, which is a reasonable fear, right?
Afraid of limiting your market. That's right. Yeah.
Right. But on the flip side of that, like it's proven that niching is a very like successful thing to do when you're in a business. Hey, let me focus very specifically on what is it that we're good at. And I think also is like looking at, hey, what are you doing? What proven success can we look at from your track record? And you could probably go look, any client, any business can go and look and say, oh, well, we make the most money when we work inside this area code and we don't have to drive a truck further than this. And I think that a lot of companies are scared, or kind of almost, you know, like, oh, well, no, we can do anything, but should you know, is a different question than can you? So how does that kind of idea, you know, cause that's crossing over from marketing into a little bit of the business coaching. It's a little bit of both worlds, right? Which you do.
Yeah.
Fortunately, but, yeah. I imagine that has to be a lot of the conversation when you're focusing on, hey, who is your core audience that we're trying to market to? And also from a business standpoint, who should we be trying to sell to? Right.
Well, once it's interesting what success does, right. It makes people want more of that.
Yeah.
And so when we do actually work with anybody and implement a strategic marketing strategy, which targets a very specific client while the business is doing things in a general way. And all of a sudden they're getting flooded with leads of that specific client. Now that client should be the perfect person you want to work with, the perfect type of work that you do exceptionally well and over and over and over again. And but that doesn't mean that's the only thing you do. It just means if we want to have successful marketing, we've got to be able to cut through what's actually happening out in the market right now. And right now what's happening out in the market is a whole ton of joinery and cabinet making businesses posting their work, right? There's a kitchen, half finished kitchen. There's our installers installing a kit, you know, all that stuff that's half finished or finished. And that's what they do. And, you know, let's be really honest. If that was successful, if that actually worked, there wouldn't be one person in this industry that needed any help with marketing or branding, because that's what everybody's doing. That should make you wildly successful. But it isn't. And that's not the reason for that, is because that doesn't inspire someone to contact you. It's like flipping through pages of a magazine, right? Go, nice. Okay, next page. And so here's a little bit of gold that I picked up. It cost me thousands of dollars for someone to teach me this. I'm going to give it away for free. When it comes down to marketing, you're not actually selling your joinery or your millwork or your kitchen or whatever. That's not what you're selling. That's how you get the result from your client, but that's not your product. So if we think about marketing primarily being about selling what it is your customer actually wants, I'll put this into simple context. If we have a homeowner with a family and they're really unhappy in their home, like they're not house proud, they don't invite their friends over because they're embarrassed of their house, right? They want to be proud of their house. What do they really want? Okay, they want a beautiful kitchen, of course. They want to be proud of their house. They want to be house proud. So if your marketing actually shows that customer exhibiting that result, that's what other people like them will want. Unfortunately, so many people in this industry just show the kitchen and it doesn't evoke an emotion. It's just a nice looking kitchen and they go, oh, okay. People are smart. They don't know what your customer actually, it's a nice looking kitchen, but it might be the wrong color and you might actually have a really angry customer. You know what I mean? People are smart about this sort of stuff. So your product is actually the result of your client. And that's what marketing is all about, is getting the result that someone's looking for.
Yeah. And showing them that result and showing them in a way that they can envision themselves in that place. They're getting to that result.
Yeah. What do you really want? Well, I want to be house proud. Or a GC, another example, right? We want jobs on time. We want to have people show up on time. We want to have my customers, a GC, I want them to be happy. And the joiner, you know, cabinet maker should be looking after that. So I could show my customer being, you know, it's a very different approach to what it is you're actually marketing. You're not marketing your stuff, although there is an element of doing that. You need to show your stuff and have social proof that you're good at what you're saying you do.
Right.
But most places don't have any testimonial, no customer videos, no voice of the customer at all. Therefore, it's just a big sea of gray, just a big sea of, you know, go on Instagram, kitchen after kitchen after kitchen after kitchen, all the same stuff. Could be a beautiful kitchen, but it starts to become boring because it's in with all the other beautiful kitchens.
Right. So differentiate and really think about your audience. So that is what you're coaching about. And then the marketing joint is a service now, an agency that allows you to offer that as a service to your coaching clients. That's awesome. That's so thinking forward now, you know, what's on the future for the joinery coach, the marketing joint for Bruce Poling?
Well, who knows what tomorrow brings, right? What for us as a business, we've grown, you know, from a client base, a membership base, so much in the last couple of years that we've had to diversify our offer. And what that means is we've always had sort of one thing and said, okay, well, let's just get together. Let's create a plan for you and let's move it forward. But as we are right now, we've got so many more members than we've ever had, so many more really large businesses and so many for smaller businesses. So we've had to sort of diversify how we approach things. And, so what that means is now we have a very small offer, which is a light touch program, or our standard program, which is very much reduced in cost, but still with the coaching elements to it and the content and part of the community, let's say, of other businesses, because everything we do is founded on three things. Our coaches are world-class. I've got a team of coaches that are just amazing at what they do. The content that we give people is world-class. That alone is worth its weight in gold. And the third element of what we do is the community of like-minded businesses that come together from all over the world and help each other. You can't get that in any other program. You know, it's like you can actually tap your competitor on the shoulder and say, hey, can you tell me what you're doing? Imagine that. You know, there's no way in the world you'd be able to do that. This is what we do. We actually bring like-minded people together. So coaching, content, and community is the foundation across everything we do. And that's in each level now, everybody gets that at different levels, let's say. Right up to what we call premium and premium class plus, which is a, you know, a larger business with leadership programs and more advanced type help they need. So the diversification of our offer, I think, is the biggest thing for us, because we want to be able to meet people exactly where they're at. And if you're a small business, we want to be able to meet you at that point with an offer that helps you at that point.
Right.
From an industry perspective, I think, you know, primarily what we do is we encourage business owners to embrace learning. You know, there's a direct relationship to what you know and what you can do. And when you stop taking on new knowledge, you stop or you limit what you can do. So the, you know, the continuous improvement and the continuous knowledge is the thing. So when people take on new ideas and new knowledge, their business gets better. How that happens, the easier it is, the better, right? So I think if we look forward, technology is going to rule the world more and more. AI is a thing. You know, nowadays, if someone says, well, give me a job role for a production manager in a millwork business, I'll go, okay, come with me. Let's jump onto ChatGPT and let's type in production manager, and boom, there's your job role. Okay, now I don't have to sit down and work on the words with them anymore. That's now our time is more valuable. Let's talk about what else needs to be in that role, like maybe purchasing or, you know, other things. And now let's work with the person doing it hands on and make it happen. So the speed to get the benefit is better because of the technology. So I think technology is always going to be a thing. AI is going to dominate. And I think that businesses need to take on automation of the business. We need to look at how do we systemize things. But having said that, doing things remotely is great and it keeps the cost down. And I love it. You and I both work remotely from our home offices and it's fantastic. But now that we can get back to being in people's businesses again, I think nothing can replace actually being on site with a client and physically helping them work through things. Nothing can replace that. So we'll go back to the old school methods that work, but not as frequent because it'd just be too expensive these days.
Yeah.
So I think a little bit of the old stuff that worked with the new technology and the new systems.
Awesome. So your team, you know, will be doing more of that. It sounds like finding ways to get in person with your clients.
Well, that is what we do now. Yeah. So we have sort of a milk run that we do with people every 3 months and we're on site.
Awesome. So you talked a lot about what you see coming, right? Which is one of the two questions I like to ask every guest. You said, you see, or maybe even you recommend that people adopt more business automation, leverage, you know, the AI and the technology that we're seeing, not just in their manufacturing, but in the whole entirety of their business operations, right? I'm interested, what do you see staying the same in our industry over the coming 5 or 10 years in the future that's not going to change? What do you see being consistent staying? Well,
you know, I think that when we look at CAD-CAM programming, we look at material handling, and there's been so much in the way of robots and part handling, and it's almost like it's not really the problem. Yes. So I think that part handling is only going to get to a certain point, and it's probably not going to advance too much, and it probably shouldn't. Right. So that should probably max out and stay the same. You know, we're not going to get a machine, you know, a robot that's going to pick up a part and move at warp speed because the part will just fly off. But it might be the wrong part at the wrong time. It's really more about how is the system fed to begin with? Are they the right parts for that machine? Right. So I think we need to move away from focusing on part handling as so much and think about the step before that, because that's how we can create flow. You know, if we're asking automation to sort part so much, we're not really solving the waste issue, which is the sorting part. You know, when you're trying to speed up sorting rather than eliminate sorting. So, you know, the lean methodologies, which is, you know, part of it is how much time are you spending sorting parts. I think that needs to be solved through the systemization and technology that can do that. You know, smaller batch lots, in other words, needs to be part of it, not moving parts faster.
Right. And I think it's interesting what you've said, because I think you verbalized it in a way that I don't know that I've ever heard very well. Like, okay, the part sorting, the automation of the manufacturing, maybe we can eke out a 5% here, a 3% there, but is that going to return that one in your business versus automation's improvements, you know, streamlining elsewhere? And I think that so many of my clients are feeling the pain of that, of like this industry 4.0 automation. They've done it, they've invested in it, they've got the machines, they've got the part handling, they've got the automation, they've got all this, but they can't feed the beast enough to get their yield out of it, right? And so, you know, I love that idea of like, okay, you can continue to, you know, get that machine and that robot that's going to move that part as fast as possible, but that's not going to do anything for you. It's not going to yield the results that spending those efforts elsewhere will.
Yeah, I think the industry is waking up, because we have this new, this new breed or this new demographic coming through that understands that we don't want to automate wasteful activities. You know, automating and getting a machine to sort parts really quickly, that's not necessarily helping the business. We need to stop the sorting to begin with. And yeah, I think that understanding of business is, that's probably going to stay the same, but the new thing coming in is better business thinking.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I really, I think that's some valuable advice and some insights that, I know is going to be turning some gears in my head for a while to come. Well, I really appreciate you taking time to come out. If people are interested in finding out more about you, Bruce, about the Joinery Coach, about the Marketing Joint, what's the best way that they can reach out and to find out more?
Yeah, I often say I'm probably the most contactable person on the planet, which I think sometimes I am. But we're also the most findable entity. So we give away stuff. Like our podcast is going into its fifth season. So if anybody wants to join our podcast, the Joinery Business Podcast, nice and easy. If someone wants to join our Facebook group, this is all the free stuff, right? People don't have to pay me for anything to get a benefit. And I'm just as happy if someone sends me a message and saying, "Hey, Bruce, I listened to that podcast thing and it changed my business." I'm celebrating, because that's kind of how I get paid. So we have a Facebook group called the Joinery Business Hub. Free group, ask questions, get some free help. But to contact me or my team, it's just thejoinerycoach.com. Really simple and easy. Just book a call and we can have a chat.
Awesome. Well, I'll make sure we link that so it's easy for everybody in the show notes. And once again, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing with our audience your story, your background, and the work you're doing down there in the Joinery Coach.
Same thing with the Marketing Joint, by the way, themarketingjoint.com. Somebody wants marketing help, same thing. But I really appreciate you inviting me on, Jacob. This has been really great. And hopefully everybody listening takes away some benefit from this conversation. That's really all that's all I'm looking for.
Awesome. No, you definitely shared some great knowledge, and I think there's a lot of value here within, and a lot more that they can get when they go to the Marketing Joint and in your Facebook group. So thanks for having taking time out, and hope to have you on again in the future.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Bruce. You too. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Do you want to stay up to date about industry insights, new content, and our community of millworkers? Go to DuckworksMW.com to sign up for our newsletter. I'll see you in the next episode of Verify in Field.